Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's webinar. My name is Osman Bengürdönmez, and today we will be talking about B2G invoicing in Europe and role of PEPOL. Today we will be discussing about the IBM PEPOL ecosystem, electronic invoicing in public procurement, EU legislation, country-wise implementation, e-invoicing by PEPOL, and PEPOL Reach. Today, I'm here with our CCO, Rıdvan Yiğit, myself, Jarek Clancy, and our regulatory technology specialist, Ege Akbaş. So I would like to give microphone for them for brief information. Shall we start with you, Rıdvan?
Yep. Thank you, Osman. This is Rıdvan. I'm managing partner and CCO at SNN, and generally responsible for the new country regulation, R&D, and sales and marketing. Thank you, Osman.
Thank you, Rıdvan. Jarek, can we please continue with you?
Thanks, Osman. Jarek Lancy here from IBM. I'm responsible at IBM for our global electronic invoicing compliance and trade standardization offerings. So particularly within that, as we talk about today, PEPOL, and the various flavors of that as it's applied around the world. It shows me responsible for a lot of things here in my profile. I would say a good few of them I even am. So delighted to be here and looking forward to talking with you.
Thank you, Jer. And Ege, could you please briefly introduce yourself as well?
Hello, I am Ege. I'm a researcher of the regulations, world value regulations of tax and regulatory technologies. In this webinar, I will talk about B2G invoicing and how PEPOL helps B2G invoicing in this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Ege. And I'm Osman Bengürdönmez, and I'm project manager in SNI, responsible for the projects around the world. And I would like to give microphone again to Rıdvan for the executive summary and about SNI part.
Hello again. Today, as Osman mentioned, we will talk about the B2G invoicing and the PEPOL network. But before that, I just would like to tell something about the e-invoicing and the VAT gap in Europe. Although the VAT gap is lower year to year, but it's still a significant problem for all the European countries. For example, in 2017 alone, the European Union lost was around 37 billion euros. Therefore, the majority of the recent and upcoming European VAT change are focused on the strengthening the tax compliance and increasing the effectiveness of the tax collection. So the invoicing landscape has been changing rapidly in the recent year. The global market is booming with e-invoicing solution. In the European Union, the main factor that enables the fast-paced development in this area is the European VAT directive reform. It introduced the definition of the electronic invoice and the creation of the cornerstones of the e-invoice rules. For example, the authenticity of the origin, the integrity of the content, and the format of the invoicing. Further progress was made in public procurement in European Union to enable the transmission in the B2G sector between providers and authorities from the different countries. And the B2G sector is already harmonized in the terms of the e-invoicing rules across the European countries. In 2020 is the year when all the member states should have finalized the implementation of the e-invoicing regulation. And the majority of have already complied. However, there are still a few countries that have delayed the implementation of the European Union directive. In order to achieve these goals, European member states are introducing new tax reporting requirements. The digital regulation of the VAT compliance is effect. So more than more and more countries are introducing some VAT requirements like SAFTI, e-invoicing or real-time invoice reporting, except the B2G invoicing. And so for sure, for all the taxpayers in European countries, meeting all these new obligations is a big challenge in itself. So today, we will just discuss one part of this kind of requirement. And we will also include the PayPal network as well with Yar. About SNI, SNI is a technology company who focuses to provide solution to its customer to make the customer comply with this kind of obligations. And we found in 2006, and we have 10 offices and partner offices over the Europe. And currently we are supporting more than 30 countries e-tax or e-compliance requirements. And we have more than 500 customers, which most of them are multinational, and we work with all of them in several countries. For now, that's all from my side, Osman. Thank you again.
Thank you, Rıdvan. So, as you see, are a couple of references. I would like to give microphone to Jer for his presentation regarding the IBM supply chain PayPal ecosystem.
Right. Thank you. Let me see if I can control now. Okay. Just one moment. Okay, so am I able to scroll? Yes, there we go. Okay, so. So hi again, everyone. So as I said, from IBM, and I'm responsible for our trade standardization and electronic invoicing compliance offerings. And IBM has been involved at a global level in PayPal pretty much since its inception. We first launched our first PayPal access point in 2007 and rebuilt our global presence in 2018, and we now operate a set of access point clusters, one in the US and one in Germany, that then across the kind of cover the global footprint from those two physical locations. What you see here, I would say, is a good marketing slide in terms of what our supply chain business network, which is the IBM Sterling core network, covers. And that's it. At the heart of that, you've got the PayPal access point, you've got our e-invoicing compliance services, you've got services for small partners, for SME trade, you've got visibility and tracking tools, and then obviously the route between your company and your trading partners. The reality, however, is that it's something far more like this is what your business probably looks like. So you've got your ERP system and your business users. You may have one or many ERPs. Typically, we would come across many multinationals who've grown by acquisition, and they have a multitude of ERP levels and releases and vendors in their estate. And they would then connect to our supply chain network. At the heart of that is also our PEPL access point. In their trading partner community, they would be working with people that they're selling to and buying from. And those would be in the PEPL world, things become much easier. It's all about connecting to a single way of doing things, one connection to reach many trading partners. But historically, this could have been individual connections to all of these using Tradecoms or X12 or Edifact or whatever it would have been. And PEPL makes it much simpler, much easier, much more streamlined, and much more flexible to expand in a much more wide way. Out of that, obviously, visibility into track and trace is a key element, and something that we've built on top of that is transactional intelligence, which I'll come to in a moment, but that's around applying artificial intelligence to the EDI and PEPL flows to be able to have a better insight and better overview of your trade. You have as well the compliance, digital signatures, interaction with tax authorities, fiscal archiving, and then the small partner tools that I mentioned, things like OCR tools, web portals, and these days pretty much no presentation goes without somebody saying, and what about blockchain? And at IBM, we've invested heavily in blockchain. We have global initiatives like Food Trust and Trade Lens, and these are also integrated to our supply chain network. And what we use them for particularly is if you've got, for instance, your PEPL or your EDI documents, we use blockchain for permissioned data sharing to be able to create a single source of truth. So, for instance, if you've got a shipment going out, the shipment is going out, but maybe the recipient, the shipment is being paid for by the seller, but the buyer is calling up the seller going, where is it? And using, for instance, blockchain, we can permission out the access to various elements of the data in the transactional flow to be able to create that shared source of truth. And these are all complementary services to our supply chain network. If I just talk then a little bit about what we do in terms of on PEPL, by definition, everything is standardized. So where we compete with the market, where we compete also, for instance, with SNI, is how we deliver differentiated value-added services on top of the basic PEPL and EDI services. And one of them that I mentioned is artificial intelligence. And what we do here is we apply our artificial intelligence tools to the river of EDI or PEPL data flowing in and out of a business. And if you look at our normal track and trace tool, it is effectively a chronological order of documents flowing in or out. And there could be many different types and formats and so on. But it can be ordered chronologically or by document type or by trading partner. But if you want, in let's say a customer service scenario, to go and figure out something went wrong, what went wrong, where do I find the documents, where do I find the work back from the invoice maybe to the order, and what went wrong could take ages to sift through the documents and work your way back. By applying artificial intelligence, as an order, for instance, in this case, and this is actually based upon a PEPL flow in the UK, a purchase order was received in, and the AI takes a note, this was a purchase order. Maybe a day later, the order acknowledgement goes back saying, okay, we've received your order, we commit to deliver. Then the following day, a dispatch advice goes out, and then a couple of days later, an invoice goes out. But as each of those documents goes through, they're correlated into then a logical transaction. So, and this happens in real time as they pass through the AI engine. And if a customer service call comes in, you then search as the as this customer service agent for, let's say, a natural language search for a particular transaction or a particular document number, then it pulls up the whole transaction as a holistic flow. And then once it's collated the first set of transactions, then it starts to correlate the correlations, building anomaly detection. So if you can then imagine your baseline trade is maybe 100 order cycles per day, and the AI looks at the size of documents, the volume of documents, the type of documents, the value of them, and looks at these over time and builds a heat map of what's normal and what's anomalous. So if you, like I said, have 100 order cycles per day and all of a sudden today you get 1 or 1,000, it could take a while before your let's say alarms go off that something is out of the ordinary in terms of normal processing, whereas this is looking at this in real time and will call out and raise alerts to you to act rather than react. And these are incremental value added features based upon the baseline of, for instance, the PEPL or the EDI flows. What I've also put in here for you is lots of other materials that I can point you towards in terms of our PEPL and EDI and supply chain offerings. And for instance, how do you best go about picking a PEPL provider? How do you define the criteria that are important to you, and how to differentiate between the services of one provider and the other? I know there was some discussion about also here we've done some videos in German, and I curate a very extensive PEPL blog over the past number of years on behalf of IBM, as well as some white papers on our network. So that's a very potted view of what I do at IBM and how it works with PEPL. Are there any questions at that point, we can pick up questions later on as well?
Thank you, Ger. We will be having the questions at the end of the webinar for the Q&A part.
Yes, then that's all for me. I'll pass back to you, Bengo.
Thank you so much. And now I would like to give the microphone to my colleague Ege for the electronic invoicing in the public procurement part. Thank you.
Hello. Can you hear me, Osman?
Yes, we can hear you again.
Okay, perfect. Hello again, everybody. So I will continue with electronic invoicing in public procurement, which is also called BTG invoicing. Okay, sorry. All right, okay. So this is a process of electronic invoicing, is whether B2B or B2G. This is the general process architecture. First, for the B2B invoicing, is generally what you do is to issue the e-invoice electronically and send it to tax authority with the certification, and then the tax authority sends the invoice to the recipient. In B2G invoicing, is usually the same process, but in this case, there is a central portal for the government entities, which works for at the central level and at the sub-central level. Usually for the different countries, for example, in Portugal, there are different portals and government entities that are controlling the B2G invoicing. And also in Germany, the portal for the at central level and the sub-central level is different. As you see, you issue the invoice in your ERP or externally, and then you send it to the portal, tax authority, where the the government authority receives the invoice. Invoicing in the European level, in the European Union level, first of all, European Commission implemented the Directive 2014/55/EU in 16 April 2014, which is about invoicing in public procurement, which makes invoicing mandatory at central level and at sub-central level government agencies. In April 18, 2019, was the deadline for member states to transpose international law and implement the directive. Also, it was extended for 1 year for the sub-central level authorities. And this year, 18 April was the deadline for the final deadline for the authorities in European Union to be able to receive invoices in electronic formats. Okay, there are some key facts, especially the directive 2014 Commission directive focuses on the public authorities' ability to receive and process the invoice. The directive doesn't impose any obligation on the government suppliers, the companies. Suppliers may, according to the EU law, suppliers may submit invoices in paper or in electronic version, or PDF version. However, starting from 2015, many European countries, including France, Italy, Germany, has been implementing mandatory invoicing for the vendors. There is a invoicing standard which is called EN 16-9031, which ensures unified format of the documents by using syntaxes called UBL and UN CFACTS, which are the standards European invoicing formats has to be used for the public procurements. However, if it is conformant with these formats, the directive also permits for the country-specific formats. About PEPOL, PEPOL is becoming a standard exchange method for global e-procurement, including B2G invoicing. UBL bounded format PEPOL BIS 3.0 is the core invoice usage specification implemented for invoicing by PEPOL. PEPOL has already been in widespread use not only across the EU but also globally. Country-wise implementation, we start with France. France started mandatory invoicing for public authorities very early, starting from 2014, and then it gradually introduces the mandatory invoicing, B2G invoicing for suppliers. Now it is mandatory for all suppliers in France to issue and accept invoices. The portal is the new portal Corus Pro, and the format is UBL V21, PEPOL BIS, and the UN CFACTS. In Germany, it's a B2G invoicing directive. Transition to the directive is complete. Currently, all the government agencies are able to accept invoices from suppliers. Also, at the end of this year, 27 November, it is becoming mandatory for all vendors to federal agencies and Bremen to send in invoices. In the state-wise, only Bremen decided to move along with governments. There are two portals I told you. Federal government's portal is the central invoice submission portal, which is also could be transferred by invoice could be transferred by PEPOL. The formats are the official format is X-Rechnung. Also, the new version of Zugwert, which is widely used in Germany, could be used by the suppliers. 2.11. Sorry. Spain, transition to Directive 2014 is complete. And it is mandatory also for suppliers since 2015. In Italy, it's the same. All B2G and B2B invoicing is mandatory for the government authorities and suppliers. PEPOL is also accepted for B2G purchase order and shipping notification. In UK, adoption is only mandatory for NHS trusts and their suppliers currently. The transfer method is PEPOL, and PEPOL standard must be used for e-purchase order and invoice methods. In Portugal, at the end of starting from 2021, large taxpayer, large companies must issue in, must be able to issue invoices to the government. In Belgium, is also the directive transition to directive is complete, and since 2017, invoicing to central government is mandatory. In Netherlands, it's the same as Belgium, which obliges the suppliers to issue invoices to the governments. And for both countries, PEPOL could be used. So let's turn to e-procurement by PEPOL. How does PEPOL work for e-procurement? PEPOL is a four-corner model, as you see in the screen. First, it starts with sender, which is the corner one. And then when you want to exchange a transfer, exchange a document, whether it's the e-order, e-invoice, e-order acknowledgements, e-advanced shipping notes, etc., you can send the invoice through PEPOL using the PEPOL access points. There are two PEPOL access points used in the process, which one of them is the for the senders, and the other one is the access point for the recipients. And then at the end of the corner four, the e-document is transferred to the receiver successfully. You can use any access points to connect to the, any participant on the network. The principle is taught like is like a motto: is connect once, connect to all. There could be a question for how to find the access points, how to detect recipients' access points. There are service metadata publishers that allows to identify the access points of the recipient easily. PEPOL is currently widely used worldwide, and it's mostly prominent in Europe, almost used by all of the European Union countries. And it is currently has been on transition in Asia Pacific, and then it's also will be used soon in the Americas. Thank you. Now Osman can take from my part.
Thank you, Ege.
Thank you.
So, how can we help you? In end-to-end solutions, as you know, there are mainly three steps, and these are starting the data retrieving from SAP which means the required data would be retrieved from your ERP based on the data mappings and processing. And as a last but not the least part, the direct communication with the tax authority could be considered as an end-to-end solution. And SNI add-on solutions are covering all these steps in just one SAP add-on solutions. And for SAP users, there are a couple of advantages of SNI add-on solutions. It's simple, which means you wouldn't need to install an SAP OSS notes, and all the updates would be provided as a package. It's efficient because you wouldn't need to look for or work with any other external consultants, and it's accessible in terms of you wouldn't need to upgrade any version. All SNI add-ons are supported from ECC 4.7 to higher R3 and S4 versions. And later on, all SNI solutions are reliable since they're all SAP certified. And as a single partner globally, our main aim is to help you to save time, cut costs, and reduce risks. And as SNI, we are providing an ongoing support starting from the project phase until the go live. And after the go live, with the ongoing support and annual maintenance and regulatory updates, to provide a long-term relationship. And in a general process architecture for the real-time invoicing, as you know, as I just explained, as a first step, the required data, invoice data, would be extracted, and it will be generated into the XML file in order to submit it to the tax authority. Later on, for delivering to the recipient's part with the file validation and the transmission as a general step. And SNI add-on solution helps you to extract this invoice with the automated extraction, and with the easy user monitoring, it creates the XML file, and it helps you to submit the tax authority as on-premise or with the cloud solution. And then from that part, with the file validation, it will be transmitted to the recipient's part. And for the questions part, you can kindly raise your questions from the Q&A part, and we would be glad to answer them.
So Jer here, if I may, we had a question in already from Peter about Germany and Zugfeld, and I responded in the chat, but to touch on that again, in Germany there's a national federal portal. There are a number also of portal solutions covering probably a northern third of Germany, mainly the east and north, where you can already deliver via PEPOL. The kind of the northwestern third of Germany have portals that are currently only able to accept the Extrechnung document via upload or email. And the south, Bavaria, Baden-Württemberg and Hessen, are not really anywhere yet in terms of PEPOL, but can receive the documents via email. So if you want consistency across Germany at the moment, the Extrechnung is the primary format to focus on. I may have a jaundiced view on this, but in my eyes, Zugfeld is an expensive way of sending a PDF through email, and is only acceptable at some local government levels of Germany. And you will, in my eyes, it's something which is going to die out over time in favor of PEPOL, because PEPOL is much more widely transportable internationally than Sofiat.
Thank you, Jer. And I received a couple of questions and I would like to ask them for you. So one of the questions starting with, I understand PEPOL is a common IT architecture allowing to exchange e-invoices working through the access hubs. I compared to like a mobile phone network, and I presume the invoices exchange between the hubs need to be European EN16931 e-invoicing standard enabled and needed as per B2G invoicing directive, or can it adhere to other standards as well?
Can you go back, Bengo, to the slide where you showed the four corner model?
Yes. So I repeat the question. I understand that PEPOL is a common IT architecture allowing to exchange e-invoices working through the access hubs. I presume the invoices exchanged between the hubs needed to be European EN16931 invoicing standard enabled, or can it adhere to other standards as well?
No, what I was asking was whether you could go back to the slide where you showed the four corner PEPOL model, which is let me see, which slide was this? Was this not in the deck? Well, actually, it wasn't. I don't think it was in the final deck. So sorry. Don't worry. Yeah, there. Sorry, 24. Exactly. So what I suppose with respect to the question, it's correct to say that, let's say the PEPOL access points here, the hubs would be corner two and corner three. And the PEPOL access points share between them the documents in a standardized format, which would be the PEPOL document types. And those are based upon the EN16931. They're kind of do other standards as well. There are some legacy ones that are supported, such as some Norwegian documents, some GS1 documents, but basically it's only those documents which are pre-ratified by OpenPEPOL. It's also correct to compare it, I suppose, the PEPOL access point role is similar to that of a cell phone provider, that corner one has a relationship with their PEPOL provider, which is corner two, and that's a commercial and technical relationship. Corner four has a technical and commercial relationship with their PEPOL access point provider, but there is no roaming or cross charging between corner two and corner three or across that divide. The messages are exchanged in a standardized manner. And corner one could be a highly automated sender sending, I don't know, SAP IDOCs to corner two, who transforms them into PEPOL messages to send them to corner three. And then corner three transforms them into maybe a human readable document and delivers it via email to corner four, or could also transform them then into a different electronic format and push them in an automated fashion. So there's no dependency between corner one and corner four on how they send and receive. The standardization occurs between the PEPOL access points. Okay.
Yes, Jer, thank you. And we have another question. Should then the e-invoicing format from the supplier to his access hub be in this prescribed format as well, or can it be in his own format?
So it could equally be that, let's say corner one, and this would be something that we support at IBM, if corner one was, let's say, an EDI capable business who had on-premise middleware that was able to take their own ERP output, transform that to a PEPL document and then push it to us for delivery to the PEPL network, or on the inbound flow, receive native PEPL document from us and perform the transformation to their own data formats themselves. That's totally possible. In truth, however, the let's say it's up to the corner one or corner four respectively to choose a PEPL access point provider that meets their technical, commercial, support, service level needs. And it could be that, let's say, corner four says, I want you to send me the data, I don't know, via smoke signal. And then we'll have to find a PEPL provider who's able to generate a PEPL compliant smoke signal. But ultimately speaking, it's very much about the corner one and corner four understanding what they want, what document formats they want to exchange with their respective PEPL providers. And usually the PEPL providers will handle then the standardization across the network between them. Okay.
Thank you, Jerry. Yes. And another question is the PEPL development we see in Australia and New Zealand then compatible with what we see in Europe? For example, can we exchange invoices with taxable persons located in these countries as well?
Okay, so the original goal way back when in PEPL was to have a single set of global business documents across the purchase order through the invoice. And that was kind of what was, I would say, pushed for in the early years. But as particularly PEPL expanded to Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, we discovered that obviously in Singapore and Australia, New Zealand, instead of VAT, you have GST. And some of the PEPL document types, even in Europe, in Germany, for instance, the German PEPL document is fractionally different to that of a French or a UK document because there's a field that's only used in Germany for the sconto or the kind of early payments discount. Or in the Netherlands or in Belgium, there's slightly different handling for VAT, or in France for routing. But the core of the PEPL document across all of those countries is probably 90 to 95% identical. So to the question on Australia and New Zealand, if you are in Europe and selling to Australia and you already have PEPL capabilities in place, it is a very small additional piece of effort to make that, let's say, PEPL invoice for the UK Australia compliant or vice versa. I would say over time, the adoption rate in Australia in particular is going to jump very strongly because in Australia, the government is planning to offer 5-day payment terms to invoices submitted in PEPL. So there would be a very big carrot provided to encourage businesses to get on board with PEPL.
Thank you, Jer. And we have another question regarding the previous one. If own format is allowed, which invoice format then should be retained by the recipient, assuming they could use this B2B environment as well and not only B2G?
Okay, so if the, well, let me the own format is not in the example here. The document format that can be transferred across the PEPL network is only the PEPL specified format after prior validation of the specifications before sending across the PEPL network. So in the question that if it's the own format, what that would mean is that the corner one sender, for instance, is able to natively push out PEPL from his own system. In that case, it would be his own format. The recipient in that case, however, would be at corner three receiving the PEPL document. And if the corner four recipient was also capable of reverse engineering that PEPL document into his own destination format, then yes, he could pass it through that way as well. B2B is not only allowed, it's very much fostered. And actually in Germany, as of within the next couple of days, IBM Germany as a vendor of stuff will be starting to invoice BMW as a client in X-Rechnung in a B2B scenario. So that would be one of the first large scale B2B rollouts that I'm aware of in Germany at least. But there's a lot of the historical application of PEPL in Europe had been obviously strongly business to government, particularly in Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, and increasingly also in Europe. The desire is coming to bring business to business at least parallel with business to government, if not in front of, because if you imagine in a business to government scenario, you've got 50 businesses, each of which who get PEPL to trade with the public sector, but they all trade amongst themselves using all manners of historical and legacy electronic or manual formats, but they've all connected to PEPL to trade with the government. Well, then the most logical thing, which gives them return on investment across all of them, would be to start using PEPL amongst themselves. And places like Norway, where PEPL has become ubiquitous, that's become a very strong thing. And we see this happening then bit by bit across other countries as well.
Thank you, Jer. And we have another question from our attendees. Does that mean that PEPL apps are not required to conduct transformations? What about orders? Can all providers hand these types of documents, such as in Italy?
So Italy is a special case for orders. We have been processing PEPL orders in Italy for the region of Emilia-Romagna since approximately the early 2016. And that was for inbound orders in PEPL from hospitals to hospital suppliers and dispatch advices being returned. But in Italy, the invoice was not being processed via PEPL going through SDI. Then at the end of last year, the NSO system, which is effectively the same system as SDI for the Italian invoice, was used to extend the business to government procurement, which kind of was where PEPL was playing across the rest of Italy. And today, orders coming from NSO to my suppliers are coming via PEPL. So a hospital in Sicily that is ordering stuff from my suppliers, they're sending that invoice, that purchase order from the hospital side in NSO. NSO is transforming it to PEPL, pushing across the PEPL network to me, and I'm then transforming that, for instance, into an IDOC or whatever destination format for my client, pushing it to their ERP. Does it mean that PEPL access points are not required to conduct transformations? As a PEPL access point, what I'm contractually obliged to do is, when I'm sending a document onto the network, I have to ensure its validity against the PEPL specifications and business rules. But when I'm receiving documents from the PEPL network, it's really up to the agreement that I have with my client what to do with them. And some of my clients want high levels of automation delivered into their ERP system. Other clients want the PEPPOL document rendered as a human readable document that they would then process manually because maybe they're not ready to go to full automation in that particular scenario at this time.
Thank you. And another question is, assuming B2B also allowed, then still many countries required the receiving invoice to be retained in the format it was issued by the supplier.
Yeah.
What if the supplier invoice format originally was not EN16931 invoicing standard, but the customer receives the e-invoice in TAT format?
Oh, okay. So I'm thinking that's probably that format as opposed to TAT. Well, I suppose from the purposes of the tax compliance part, if I'm receiving a PEPPOL invoice, the tax relevant one is the one that is the original format it's received in. And that would be, I would receive an invoice on your behalf. I would take it, I would archive it, attach a digital signature to prove authenticity and integrity and keep it for the duration of the period of retention. However, then taking that invoice, I may then turn it into an IDOC for you to process it or into whatever format that you want to process it in. However, the tax relevant document is the format which was received from the, let's say in this case, from the sender.
Thank you. And another question from one of our attendees is, does PEPPOL Network, one of the APs, transform the e-invoice or just simply do the verification and delivery?
I would say the vast bulk of the PEPPOL Network access points would only do, I would say, as a service transformation and delivery. Verification and delivery is an absolute baseline as part of that, but not very many access points only offer the what I would call the equivalent of van services connected to PEPPOL. So if you are an IBM van user, our van is connected to the PEPPOL network and it's possible to send and receive documents on there that are then pre-validated before sending or after receiving to make sure that they're in adherence with the PEPPOL rules.
Thank you, Jer. And I think we have answered all the questions. I suppose there is no other question waiting. We have one more. You mentioned that France Cross Pro can receive PEPPOL BIS documents. What receiving PEPPOL access point do you use for this?
So the way that Chorus Pro works is it's a kind of a clearinghouse. So there is a single PEPPOL access point which stands in front of the entire French public sector. And if you are sending an invoice to France, it is sent. So in the XML header of the document, the envelope, if you like, is the address of the clearinghouse. But in the payload of the document, there are additional elements that are required then for that document after it's received to be routed to the final, to the Chorus Pro system for final last mile delivery, if you like. So any PEPPOL access point can send the PEPPOL network to the receiving side on behalf of Chorus Pro. I believe it's Pagero that operates the receiving access point on behalf of them, but let's say we've been sending invoices to France for probably nearly 4 years using that method for quite a lot of customers.
Thank you, Chair. And we answered all the questions now, and we're almost at the end of the webinar. Would you like any of you add any last comments? Jer, with
nothing,
one more.
Nothing from my side. Thank you, Osman.
Yeah, no, for me, I would say the main thing for a business to understand with PEPOL is that PEPOL is an instrument for simplification and standardization, which is being deployed across the bulk of Europe, across Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia is coming there. I've got inquiries in the Middle East. I see countries like Japan are inquiring about it. There's a project about to start in the US, Canada, and Mexico looking at PEPOL, or looking at the PEPOL interoperability framework. So the only thing as a business you should be keeping in mind is you only need one PEPOL service, but making sure you need the, not all PEPOL service and service providers are created equal. The payloads that we exchange are generically interoperable and interchangeable by design, but it's very important to look at what your technical, commercial support, service level needs are, and to make sure that you pick a service provider who's able to meet those requirements. And if you are, I don't know, if you pick a PEPOL provider on the South Island of New Zealand as your chosen provider, technically that's fine. However, if they only work during New Zealand business hours and they're in bed when you need them, that's not going to help you much. So you need to make sure that you pick a service provider who's able to cover the scope and breadth of service that you need for your business. And that's the key thing.
Thank you, Jer. And I would like to thank all of our participants and speakers for their time on today's webinar. So I wish you all health and safe days. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.